Watch Talk Heathen live Sundays at 1 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTTH and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callTH.
Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Truth Wanted. I am your host tonight, Objectively Dan. This is the live call-in show that happens every single week, Fridays at 7 p.m. Central Time, where we talk to people about what they believe and why. And every single week, I always have a special guest. This week is no different. It is, in fact, John the Skeptic returning. John the Skeptic, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry that I'm not MD aware or Aaron, but I can try my best.
That's okay. And you know what? We always say that we have a special guest every week. We try to, but you're about to become less special in a good way, John.
Oh.
This is the best way I could have possibly phrased that. Point is, I teased this a little bit last week. If you didn't watch last week's awesome Halloween special, you need to go do that. if you're listening to this like out of order, go listen to last week's show. Shit was bananas. It was awesome. My cousin Rob Boss was on the show, and it was a good time. But you may notice that John the Skeptic made a little bit of a cameo appearance, and that's because we have asked John if he'd be interested in becoming a more regular host for Truth Wanted, and John has graciously said yes. So John, welcome to the Truth Wanted crew, bud. It's all downhill from here, I'll tell you.
Sure.
That.
I can't wait. I like going downhill. It's easier.
Right. And we're gonna, I mean, John, we're gonna jump into the madness straight up. Like, I'm just gonna this isn't like a hazing thing. It's just like, you gotta understand, my brain is broken, and I look at weird conspiracy nonsense like all the time in my free time. It's not a good hobby to have. I don't recommend it, but I will make positive use of it by like explaining the things that I see. So John, today is a deep dive day. It's a Dan's deep dive day.
Oh, I'm excited.
And we are going to talk about QAnon. Okay.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you started, I was like, oh, okay, where are we going with this? And then you hit me with QAnon.
Oh yeah. That's, oh yeah.
Okay. Super hard. Okay.
We're going hard in the paint, John. Okay. Before I get to that, I just want to remind you guys, this is a call-in show. So if you want to talk to me about QAnon, do you believe in QAnon or know somebody that does, or maybe you have family members that do and you want to share about some of those stories or figure out ways of how to talk to them about their beliefs, I'd be happy to try and help. You can do that at the number below. It's 512-991-9242, or you can visit tiny.cc/callTW and talk to us about it. And again, you can talk to us about any of the regular stuff that we talk about on this show, Christianity, ghosts, aliens, Bigfoot, whatever. But that is going to be my little focus here tonight at the beginning. And also, just real quick, Truth Wanted is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, which is a nonprofit 501c3 organization dedicated to the promotion of atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion and government. But John, today we're not talking about critical thinking. We're talking about the opposite of critical thinking.
Sure.
We're talking about QAnon. Okay. So let me start off this by, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, are you going to try and sell QAnon to me? Fine. That's fine.
You don't know this because you haven't been on you're just now becoming a host. I've talked about QAnon on this program before.
Great.
I've made calls to action on this program before for other people to talk about QAnon because, quite frankly, I don't think skeptics in the space have talked about QAnon enough for my liking. I actually think that in some ways it is a more direct problem in people's lives than Christianity could be sometimes.
Yeah.
Which is
right.
Pretty wild. You know, obviously we have a lot of big focus on Christianity. It's not the only religion we sort of deconstruct here, but it is the most common one in the United mm-hmm. States and, you know, mostly in the world that we occupy, at least people I talk to. Mm-hmm. So QAnon is kind of this subset of Christianity in some ways, but also it is a religious movement within itself. It has a very complicated history. I've talked about a little bit of that history before on some previous episodes, but there's a reason why I want to kind of talk about QAnon again, and that's because of an attack that happened last week. If you're familiar, John, Paul Pelosi, who is the husband of Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was attacked in his home by a man named David DePappy with a hammer, mm-hmm. who were shouting, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" He was trying to assault Nancy Pelosi and presumably kidnap her as well. He had like zip tie stuff, right? Right. And the details of what actually happened, like, fully got released today, which I'm not going to read all of it, but it is pretty wild. This man is an interesting dude, to say the least. But it's a, people have already said, of course, oh, there's no way that he is doing what he thinks he is. It must be an op. He must be the secret, you know, gay prostitute of Paul Pelosi, because people want to ignore the reality that this was a man who was in the right wing conspiracy ecosphere that has been bubbling in this country for the past, I don't know, at least decade. I mean, it really goes farther than that. But as far as like internet culture, I mean, it's really taken off in the past, you know, like decade or so. It's you know, I want to bring your attention to a quote here that I've got. In the months, this is from the LA Times talking about this, right? So in the months before police accused him of attacking House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband Friday morning, David DePappy had been drifting further into the world of far-right conspiracies, anti-Semitism, and hate, according to a Times review of his online accounts. In a personal blog that DePappy maintained, his posts included such topics as manipulation of history, hollow hoax, and it's okay to be white. He mentioned 4chan, a favorite message board of the far right. He posted videos about conspiracies involving COVID-19 vaccines and the war in Ukraine being a ploy for Jewish people to buy land. DePappy's screeds include posts about QAnon, an unfounded theory that former President Trump is at war with a cabal of Satan-worshipping elites who run a child sex ring and control the world. In an August 23rd entry titled Q, DePappy wrote, "Either Q is Trump himself or Q is the deep state moles within Trump's inner circle." Now, I said this back in the election of 2021. I said it after the fact, and I'll say it again. Q did not end and will not end and hasn't ended from the 2020 election, right? The 2020 election was sort of the supposed to be the end point, right, for a lot of Q conspiracies. A lot of people that were pointing to this idea and saying, oh, once the election happens, Trump is going to be, you know, doing all this stuff. All these secret indictments are going to come out. But of course, it didn't happen because none of that's real. But that didn't mean that Q was going to go away. In fact, people are still believers in Q. And while, yeah, of course, there's people who don't believe it anymore, the movement is still ongoing and it's still going to keep going, which I think is incredibly fascinating. We've talked about this before a little bit, but there's documented evidence of people who are part of communities that bring a sense of identity and a sense of purpose so strongly that they don't want to give up the least of it. So there's a big study done on this back in the 1970s on a UFO cult that talks about this phrase called cognitive dissonance. You may have heard of this before. This researcher came up with this by studying this cult when a UFO cult was supposed to be taken up into the stars that night, but then it didn't. But then they still kept believing in the aliens and stuff, and that the date kept getting pushed back, right? It's the exact same stuff you see in Christian circles talking about the upcoming rapture, and we see the same thing here at Q. And as a result of these beliefs, there's a lot of direct harm that comes in the world. So much, in fact, I've compiled a timeline here of some real-world crimes outside of the one that just happened last week. John, you look like you have something to say. What you got?
No, I'm completely shocked that there's a timeline of massive events.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going to put this on, and I want to learn about QAnon.
What is that? What
this
is that,
a clown
John?
Nose. This is a clown. And why do I have this? I don't know. But teach me.
For the audio listeners at home, John just put on a cloud nose inexplicably. I think that's a QAnon is what I'm going to call that.
QAnon. Oh,
QAnon.
This. We're not starting another religion tonight, Dan.
No, not tonight.
Let's not.
It is kind of interesting because, I mean, the Q phenomenon is not old, right? Compared to like most religious traditions, it's not old. It started in, I mean, pretty much November of 2017. Okay. And there's already been so much traction that's happened because of this, not just in the United States, globally, actually. And we'll probably get to that in a bit, but I have to be mindful of time because, again, I don't know if I can cover everything that I have on this list here of everything that's happened, but I'm going to talk about some major ones. So here's the first major thing that's happened. Okay. That happened to you. This was in 2018. Okay. In May of 2018, Michael Lewis Arthur Meyer live streamed a Facebook video from the site of Tucson, of a Tucson cement plant, asserting that this is a child sex trafficking camp that no one wants to talk about, that no one wants to do nothing about. And the video was viewed 650,000 times over the ensuing week. Tucson police inspected the plant without finding evidence of criminal activity, and Meyer then occupied a tower on the property for 9 days until reaching agreement with police to leave. He later returned to the tower in July, whereupon he was arrested for trespass. Meyer referenced QAnon and the hashtag where we go one, we go all hashtag on his Facebook page. Okay, so that's the first sort of quasi-criminal activity that's happening there. You see that, and it's like, okay, that's one guy, right? This one guy, and he has a belief. What's up with that? Okay, yeah, that's weird, but is that mean a movement? That's the first of about 20 things I have on this list here. I mean, it's a lot. And it doesn't get better. I'll tell you that. I think that's probably the mildest thing on this list. I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot. So again, I'm just going to go over some of the highlights. Okay, and here's another big one. This is one that caught, I think, the most mainstream media attention at the time that really brought more people to QAnon. This was the Hoover Dam incident that happened. Okay, so in 2018, I'm on the wrong part. Let me go back to this list. But yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff that I got here.
It seems like it picked up a lot of traction as well during the pandemic, because people were forced to stay in at home and had a lot of time to spend on the internet and were reading things and going, yeah. Oh, this could be true. This gives me some hope.
I think the pandemic complicated things because, like I said, QAnon is a very loose movement of ideas. I think that's how it thrives in its loose.
Right.
People can adapt it as something being QAnon related or not. It's sort of this amalgamation of different things. It really is a pick and choose which things you like and which things you don't like kind of movement.
Like the Bible.
Yeah, or stochastic terrorism. I mean, it works. Yeah. It works both ways. You know, it's like, I mean, like the thing with Christian traditions, there are denominations, but at least they have like written charters. You know what I mean? Like, you can, you know, there's a general hierarchy. Like QAnon really doesn't have a hierarchy. The only hierarchy is Q. Like that is it. And even who Q actually is pretty suspect. I don't have time to talk about even that part of it. But I did find my place here. Talk about the Hoover Dam. And said this was June 15th, 2018. Matt Philip Wright of Henderson, Nevada, was arrested on terrorism and other charges for driving an armored truck containing an AR-15 and handgun to the Hoover Dam and blocking traffic for 90 minutes. He said he was on a mission involving QAnon to demand that the Justice Department release the OIG report. If I have time, we'll get to that. That's the thing with Q, right? Every 5 seconds, there's like deep lore that you have to kind of get into. The OIG report on the conduct of FBI agents during the investigation into Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. Since a copy of the Office of the Inspector General report has been released the day before, the man had been motivated by a Q drop, which claimed the released version of the report had been heavily modified and that Trump possessed a more damning version but had declined to release it. In video recorded inside his armored truck, Wright expressed disappointment that Trump had not honored a duty to look certain people up, asking him to uphold your oath. After blocking traffic, Wright drove towards the Arizona side of the bridge where his tires were flattened by police spike strips. He then surrendered to police after becoming stuck on a dirt road. Nobody was injured during the incident. At trial, Wright was found guilty, and on December 17, 2020, he was sentenced to 7 years on a terrorism charge and 9 months for unlawful flight to be served consecutively. And it gets worse. I mean, God, what do we got? It's 7:14, man. Let's talk about some of the kidnapping. In December 2019, Cynthia Abtug was arrested and charged in Colorado with conspiracy to commit second-degree kidnapping of one of her children who had been removed from her custody. Her other daughter reported to police that Abtug had been collaborating with an armed male who was definitely part of this group, QAnon, and that her mother had gone to QAnon meetings and believed that the child had been taken by evil Satan worshippers and pedophiles. Abtug pleaded not guilty to the charge in September 2020, was trialed in February 2021. On March 20th, 2020, Neely Petrie Blank was arrested and charged with kidnapping and custodial interference after taking her two daughters, who had been in the sole legal custody of their grandmother. Petrie Blankard had made multiple social media posts promoting QAnon, including memes and pictures of her wearing QAnon shirts at Trump rallies. She also taken actions connected with the Sovereign Citizen movement and had become actively involved with the E-Clause, a QAnon-affiliated Sovereign Citizen pseudo-law firm. In October 2020, Utah mother Emily Jolly abducted her son during a supervised visit, despite the fact that the boy's father had full custody of him. She had promoted QAnon conspiracies, including alleging that Child Protective Services had been involved in human trafficking and was a member of a Facebook page for E-Clause. On April 13th, 2021, a French group influenced by QAnon theories and by a local version of Sovereign Citizen ideology helped a non-custodial mother abduct her 8-year-old child from the child's grandmother, who had been been awarded custody due to the concerns over the mother's mental stability and extreme conspiratorial beliefs. The investigation about the people involved in the kidnapping eventually led to the uncovering of an alleged terrorist conspiracy. Ooh, so fun stuff there. Questions so far, John?
I mean, I'm noticing a few things. And you said it earlier that people thought that potentially Trump was Q.
Correct.
Which we can debunk that straight away because he can't even spell coffee. So,
that's true.
So I'm going to say that's not him. This whole mentality of getting in there first before somebody gets you is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. There are some things you can believe in that probably aren't as damaging as this whole QAnon subset. Like, if you're going to believe in something strange, at least make it like flat earth where nobody can really get hurt from it.
Yeah, I think that's a thing I feel too, right? It's like there are like obviously people who have weird out there beliefs, but like a lot of them are probably harmless, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, if their beliefs aren't necessarily tied to their criminal actions, whereas you can make a direct link to at least all the cases I've made so far, that there's an ideology that's informing sort of these attacks that, that happened there. And we haven't even gotten to the murders yet, John. It's kind of sad. It's not really good. So Matthew Taylor Coleman, on August 12th, 2021, a follower of QAnon and a father of two was charged with murdering his two children, a two-year-old son and 10-month-old daughter, with a spearfishing gun in Mexico. The suspect, identified as 40-year-old Matthew Taylor Coleman, fled back to U.S. after the murders and was arrested there. He claimed that he was enlightened by QAnon and other alleged delusions that his wife carried and passed on serpent DNA to his kids, which compelled Coleman to take them to Mexico and murder them to prevent them from growing into monsters. Coleman is in a Californian prison pending trial for his killings.
Where does theory even come from? How do you even get the idea that your children have DNA from a completely different species?
Well, there is a subset in the conspiracy movement that does talk about chimera beings, right?
Sure. Okay. Lizard people and
so the abortion, right? So a lot of people know this. You know, they've cloned an aborted fetus back in the 70s that's currently used for stem cell research, right? That the same fetal tissue's been used for like a long time, right? Right. They think that that's evidence that they've been doing experiments with human beings and animals tied together to make like chimera beings and stuff and, you know, all kinds of stuff. Yeah. I mean, but that's the thing, right? So like that in of itself is not a major Q thing, but it's still tied in this circle like that. Like that's what's so hard about pinning this thing down is that obviously a man who does something like that, I mean, they have some severe mental issues, right? There is mental illness that is definitely a component of a lot of this, but like there's a lot of mentally ill people that don't commit crime, that function and live in society and are just fine. The thing, this belief like does motivate action in some way. Like if you sincerely believe that your kids are going to turn into monsters because of some sort of serpent DNA, I mean, like, I don't know, like that causes people to act in a certain way, right?
Yeah. And there are ways to get help when you have these kinds of thoughts as well. You don't have to go and murder your children. Go and get the help.
And it's very sad. And I, you know, point of order here as well. When I bring this for discussion, what I intend to do is to dissect and hopefully rehabilitate people of these beliefs in some way. I don't want to make fun of people in a traditional sense. I don't want to insult people and say, look how dumb these people are for believing in something. Because for some people, like if you do suffer from something like schizophrenia or schizoaffective disorder, like that is going to be something that's going to influence your train of thought. And that's not something you can necessarily help all of them, right? So it's like I think we have a duty to help people who are mentally ill and make sure that we help them to, figure out what's real from what's not real, at least to that degree of instability, right? Like, again, I'm not stereotyping people and saying everybody who has mental illness is, or like, you know, most of us here probably have mental illness in one form, right?
Sure.
So, anyway, that's a point of order here because, like, there's some really messed up stuff here. Let's talk about a weird one here. I told you I'd bring about some stuff from around the world. I already mentioned some French ones. Here's one that happened earlier this year in Tokyo. There was a break-in at Tokyo Vaccination Center. A Japanese QAnon affiliated group called Yamato Q waged an online disinformation campaign against the COVID-19 vaccine rollout in Japan. They were claiming that the coronavirus did not exist and that vaccinations were part of a plan to decrease the population through the administration of harmful substances. And on April 7th, 2022, 12 members of Yamato-Q trespassed into a Shibuya healthcare clinic that provided COVID-19 vaccine shots, and four of them were immediately arrested by the Tokyo Metropolitan Police. And the group's leader was also arrested as well. So there's groups all over the world.
Wow. Do you remember when the vaccine rollout was happening, that there were some folks who believed that sometime, I think it was October just gone, sometime in October 2022, all of the vaccines that have been injected would trigger, and that's when everybody who had the vaccine was going to die. That's a thing, right?
That's the thing that's happened multiple times. Sure. I heard last month that all the power was supposed to go out too.
Really?
You know, these kinds of rolling dates also tend to happen.
Another
in Q. Like, the thing about Q and these Q drops too is Q figured out pretty early on, somewhat early on. Later on, there were some ones that did include times that were wrong. Mm-hmm. But for most of the posts, they kind of figured out not to post specific dates or times and to be very vague, because whenever they did post specific times, like, shit just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, it just, you know, and so
funny that,
you know, they kind of had to, you know, play with the expectations of their audience a little bit.
Yeah.
I talked about, we talked about identity earlier, but, like, you know, few people who are dissecting Q drop, which are, you know, the posts that Q makes on 8chan, which eventually gets disseminated into content aggregators. They call themselves bakers, these people, right?
Right.
Because they're baking, it's this whole kind of metaphor that they got going on. There's breadcrumbs that Q is leaving, and so they're the bakers, which isn't how breadcrumbs work. You don't cook breadcrumbs, but, like, you know, it doesn't make any sense. They have this all kind of language. They have this kind of secret society that they've built themselves that gives them a sense of purpose, that makes them feel like, oh man, I know the truth, and I am going to figure this out and be the hero in this sort of made up story that they have. So whenever you're a part of a community like that, and you're like, oh, I predicted this thing was going to happen, and then it kind of did, like, that's going to give you a sense of, wow, this thing is more real than what it really is. I don't know.
Sure. That's terrifying.
It is really sad. Again, there are so many things on this list here that I have. I can't even get to it, but let's talk about the big one. Okay.
Okay.
In 2021, January 6th, rioters were seen either wearing clothing with Q-related emblems or identified as QAnon followers at the storming of the Capitol, the United States, right? Ashley Babbitt was a rioter who was shot dead by police as she was trying to get into the speaker's lobby and was an adherent of QAnon. On the day of the attack, she had retweeted a message from conspiracy theory attorney L. Linwood, which called for the immediate resignation of Mike Pence, Rod Rosenstein, John Roberts, and for the indictment of the first two. One of the most notable participants in the riots was Cenk Angeli, whose presence was widely reported by the media because of his shamanic attire and wore paints. Angeli, known also as the QAnon shaman, was a known QAnon supporter who had participated in various protests. And on January 12th, Facebook and Twitter announced that they were removing the Stop the Steal content and suspending 70,000 QAnon-focused accounts, respectively. And on April 19th, 2021, the Sufan Center reported that, Sufan Center is a national defense think tank, reported that Russia and China had amplified and weaponized QAnon stories around the time of the storming of the Capitol to sow societal discord and even compromise legitimate political processes. So make no mistake about it. When you look at footage from the Capitol riots on January 6, 2021, you see Q flags, you see Q t-shirts, you see people who definitely believe in Q and who are there because of that belief. There's a lot of people who will try and say, oh, this is actually Antifa in disguise, like pretending to be a controlled opposition. But if you listen to the people who were there and who were being tried, like, they will tell you why they were there. And there's interviews and people, you know, going to court over this stuff who will still say that they were there for this particular reason. You know, that happened. I don't know. People kind of forget. I mean, they don't forget. I mean, people are still talking about it. There's a whole committee going on, but, like, that's a very Q specific thing. It's not just a general conspiracy thing. Like, if I sincerely wonder if Q hadn't really started in November of 2017, if the Capitol riots would have even happened at all.
Wow.
I think the connection is that strong, but
yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, there's a lot more on this timeline, but if you want some more information, Wikipedia has a great link that talks about a lot of the some of the major events and stuff, which help you source a lot of the stuff. And of course, ongoing developments and research on Q are happening by a lot of different content creators that definitely deserve more spotlight. So support your local Q skeptics.
Wow. And that's just skimming the surface.
We barely even touched it. That's insane. I touched on some highlights. But more murder, more political dissidents, more people
harming
their
families because they're worried about certain things. It's,
Another one that you should look at, and I sent this to John a few days ago, was there's a subreddit called QAnon Casualties, which is great because it provides a place for people who have family members and loved ones to share some of their experiences with Q, and specifically, you know, Q believers, right? And like those new posts that are in that subreddit pretty much every day. And it is really sad to see how far this thing has come from just a random post on 4chan to one of the most, probably most prolific, one of the most important religious movements of the 21st century so far in terms of politics. I mean, like, it really has changed the game in a lot of ways in how we understand how people operate. And with the internet as just this catalyst for these ideas that we haven't really had a good idea to control so far, it does make me wonder what the next 10 years of politics are going to look like. Is it going to be more in misinformation like this that people will capitalize on? Or are we going to find ways to strongly regulate this kind of information from even getting out in the first place? I don't know. There's a lot of debate on it still. But quite frankly, I do think that at least on Twitter and Facebook's account, too little too late for a lot of the stuff that they did for taking down groups and stuff like that. I mean, this stuff was going on for way too long. And,
of course, Twitter's all up in the air now as well with the change of ownership. Is that going to be policed as well as it was before?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, Q still out there. It didn't die in 2020. It's still happening.
If anything, got bigger.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. So I've read some different things about, it's hard to know exactly how many people count as Q. I've read different numbers for different things. I haven't come to like a good timeline to see, are there more people now than before? And it's also hard because you have to figure out, what does it mean to call someone a Q person? What if they don't believe Q is like actually Donald Trump, but they believe something else? Maybe they believe a related conspiracy theory that came from Q. Does that make them a Q follower? You know, like it becomes way more complicated, really, really bad. So anyway, I think that's it. I have to close it on the deep dive because, again, my deep dives were taking way too long. But they are deep dives, right? So
that was deep. I would applaud you, but I don't want to blow the microphone. But
no, it's
internally, I'm applauding you.
Well, I appreciate that. But listen, like I said, if any of you guys have things you want to talk about that are related to this or not related to this, feel free to call in because we are going to take some calls now. But before we do that, we have to thank the patron of the week, because every single week I always thank a special patron. I, of course, want to thank all of the patrons on patreon.com. Everybody hopefully gets a shout out eventually. I did see a message from somebody that said they didn't get their name shouted out, so trying to make sure everybody gets shout out. So this week's patron of the week is going to be Ken Funk. Thank you so much, Ken Funk, for donating. And thank you, of course, to everybody that donates on that Patreon. It helps show the ACA that, hey, this show is worth supporting. And of course, myself and John and most of the people, actually everybody you see on camera, are volunteers of the ACA. So we don't personally profit off of this. It all helps towards goals, making our productions and other stuff for the organization even better. So thank you so much for that. John, you ready to talk to some people?
I'm so excited to talk to some people.
All right. Let's do it. We're going to talk to Whisper. Whisper, who is calling in from Utah. Whisper, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
Hi. Hello.
Hello. How are you? Hi. Good. Good. I mean, depressed because of the state of the world, but that's not going to change anything.
Don't I know it? It's been kind of awful lately, hasn't it?
I better get over it real quick because, like I said, it's not changing anytime soon. So what are you going to do, you know?
Right. So my topic is that QAnon theories are deadly, and their pervasiveness in culture is damaging to everyone, not just the people who believe in it. Because
I like your thesis, and you don't even have to defend it. I immediately agree with you there. But yes, go ahead. Tell me about that.
I want to hear more.
People who believe this are the ones in power, and they're making policies based off of these beliefs. And even just like the little things, for example, like COVID isn't dangerous, or ivermectin will cure you. That stuff put my dad in a coma when he tried using it to try and cure his COVID. He'll never be the same afterwards. He's blind. He doesn't have movement in his hand. This stuff is dangerous to everyone.
I agree.
Even little bits and pieces will pervade itself into religion, and those religion, like here in Utah, everything is, all the policies are built off of the local religion, which kind of sucks.
Right. So John made a joke earlier about how he doesn't think that Donald Trump is Q. And actually, it's funny because, of course, Donald Trump has been asked several times about the Q phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, one of his answers to what does he think about Q, he's saying, I don't know much about Q, but I hear that they're for freedom. And I support that. It's something along those lines. Right. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, he does know about Q. He's lying. Right. Like, just, I'm saying this, I don't know if this is a fact, but it's pretty obvious he's lying. Right. I mean, every single, like, you know, right wing grifter out there has been using Q to like promote their ideas. Look at, like, I mean, we're getting a little political right here, but I'm just trying to state, I'm trying to bring up objective, like, facts of history so that I can make my point here. But folks like Marjorie Taylor Greene has explicitly used Q rhetoric. I'm trying to think of some other people. Other people that have been up for election have definitely endorsed Q and what it's had to say, because they know that their base also likes Q. And so, like, they want to be the Q people. They want to, like, you know, be the face of that. And when they do that, they, of course, legitimize the movement even further, because people are like, well, here's these politicians that are talking about it, so, like, it must be real. You know, it is really sad. It is really sad.
Yeah, my senator is Mike Lee, and I'm pretty sure he follows Q. He's just not as vocal about it as, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene. He's definitely at January 6th. Definitely. I'm positive that one. And I'm doing my best to try and vote him out, but it's scary about how these beliefs are managing to invade their way into our public consciousness and our culture, even when we don't want them to, even when it's harmful. And that's dangerous. Innocent people keep getting hurt by these ideas, like all mm-hmm. of the, I think Pizzagate was one of them. That was the one where that guy went into that pizza shop and started shooting, if I remember right.
Yes. Pizzagate, just to talk briefly about it, is probably one of the big inspirations for why QAnon took off the way that it did, because of the public nature of that, and because it was such a talking point within these kinds of circles already. Mm-hmm. Q, like, if you look at some of those Q posts, like, indirectly mentions John Podesta and indirectly mentions stuff that happened with Pizzagate to sort of, like, further this narrative that, like, yes, your suspicions about this event were true, and that you should use that to, you know, inquire about these other things. So yeah, like Pizzagate was definitely a part of this larger narrative, and it also was endorsed by some politicians, although not as much as Q was. Q came a bit later, of course, and became more mainstream, and the more mainstream it got, the more acceptable it became to just say stuff that's not true about, you know, conspiracy right? stuff. It's pretty wild.
I would just say I would say that in any of these situations, yes, it's terrifying that people believe these things, but just make sure you're safe, and make sure your mm-hmm. family is safe where possible. And talk about it with them. You said your dad is he did things because he'd listened to what Q said.
He's not like full in, but he does believe some of the more appealing talking points, which I think is the more dangerous part of QAnon.
Sure.
Is that the less insane bit managed to get accepted as fact.
The only ammunition we have is to talk, and don't the best way to go into this is to not how I do it, and I'm not saying this is the best way for everyone, but is to talk about why they believe these things and ask questions, because you can turn people's way of thinking by asking the right questions and saying, okay, so where is this information coming from? Where are you getting this? Is that a reputable source? And I mean, it sounds like it's a little too far gone for your father right now, because he's already done the damage. But in future, where you can, ask questions and talk about it, and try and have level-headed conversations to try and bring people back. And you know, that's all I can suggest.
From watching too much Fox News, I think he learned not to do that.
Right.
The, The crazy thing though is, Whisper, is that there are people who have been interviewed who got COVID and who are still like, yeah, I still don't want the vaccine, or I still don't regret not getting the vaccine. I think that is a really interesting thing.
I haven't gotten it.
You know,
COVID sucks. It was the worst experience of my life.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel you.
I'm lucky. I never actually got it, but all of my family got it. And by the way, my family is not anti-vax. They're actually, most of my family works in medicine, so they got it because they were on the job. They got it before the vaccine was available. But like, it is. Climate change and QAnon conspiracies have a similarity here in that the best thing we can do for climate change actually isn't on an individual level, right? Like, it has to be on a giant corporate level, and like we can only kind of do what we can in local circumstances. I think the same it works for QAnon, right? I can't run Facebook. I can't run Twitter. I can't tell them to shut these groups down. I know they're trying to do more of that. And I do think that deplatforming those groups does disenfranchise
the ball rolling.
These groups.
Yeah,
yeah, I believe that that's good. But like, you're right. It's like the best thing I think we can do, John, is like, if you can perform the emotional labor of talking about it with people you know, I do sincerely believe that you're more likely to convince somebody you know than just like a stranger that you meet on the internet or just somebody on Twitter that you just right? Because like there is more of a rapport that's already built there, right? Yeah. So, you know, I hope things go well with your dad, Whisper.
Yeah, let us know.
It's really tough.
Yeah, I've been building prosthetics for him since he can't use his dominant hand anymore. I love him, but he fell for something dumb. But the damage is done, so I can't do anything about it except help him move on from that.
Exactly.
Which is hard.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, it's not going away, and like, more conspiracies and more beliefs that just aren't true are still going to keep happening. So you can still help him by helping him figure out what's true and not true in the future when inevitably the next big thing comes in and the next big talking point, you know, happens.
Right.
Like, I you know, I wouldn't give up hope yet. It can still be an ongoing conversation of trying to help figure out what's true and what's not true, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They tend to legitimize, like the media, they tend to legitimize the small talking points so that they can further bring in the stranger talking points. And like,
it's true.
Okay, I guess you're going to do that. There's nothing I can do about it because I'm not a news corporation.
It's true. There is a focus on the possible rather than what's probable, right?
Right.
So it could be possible that Paul Pelosi had a secret prostitute that he saw when Nancy Pelosi was away on vacation, and somehow it got out of hand, and this is all just a cover-up. Or it could be that Nancy Pelosi is a very very hated figure among certain circles, and this dude's post-history definitely suggests that she didn't like him, or he didn't like her. So, you know, what's more probable there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's really how you have to think about it.
Gets him every time.
Yeah. Exactly. Which is a good tool. But anyway,
and the good
Whisper,
thing is, I'll just to add in just ever so quickly, the good thing is you don't have to know a lot about a lot to ask questions either. So
I love
just
asking questions. It's my favorite hobby.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best way to be, in my opinion. I love that.
I agree. Asking questions is always a good thing to do. But Whisper, we're going to go ahead and let you go so we can talk to some other folks. But thank you so much for calling in. Yeah. And hopefully your relationship with your dad improves. And I encourage, let's be real. We all probably have family members that believe somewhere on the spectrum of this, right? I know I do. It's something we all have to deal with. So we might as well figure out how we can do it the best way possible, right?
Right. Yeah. My dad actually is, he works for the Ministry of Defense, and he has some crazy ideas. It's probably not a good idea to say that, really. He works for the Ministry of Defense. Yeah. This is a conversation for another time. He's a lovely
Okay. Well, we're going to get some leaks on that in a bit.
Yeah, we will.
But first, I want to tell you guys about how you can support the show. One of the ways you can support the show is by donating to our Patreon, as I mentioned before, tiny.cc/patreon.tw. And of course, you'll get a shout out during the show. And there's also different tiers for some other stuff that you can check out if you decide to donate. Another way you can support the show is by becoming a member. If you want to do that, you get emojis in the chat, your name gets highlighted in the chat, and you will be immune to chat timeouts. And you can do that all for as little as 99 cents per month, which I think is a pretty good deal. So check that out if you haven't already. One other thing, if you shop on Amazon, then you can support the ACA at no cost to you. You just have to visit tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA and designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity. And Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA, which I think is pretty cool, right? If you're going to shop on Amazon, which I'm sure most of you do, might as well just tack that on there, right?
And there's a time of year coming where people will be shopping a little bit more than usual. So now's a good time to definitely do it.
That's true. That's true. And we'll talk about some stuff you can actually get as gifts maybe a bit later. But for now, we have, of course, the thing that we show every week. We've got the promo showing you some of the other productions we have at the Atheist Community of Austin. So check it out.
Thanks for coming in and joining us, and I guess kind of helping us shake off the rust. It's been like a 3-year dry spell. So if right? I'm a little bit awkward, like, you know, don't. I promise this never happens.
Just kidding, folks. I'm not Bob Ross or Rob Koss or whatever. I'm objectively Dan, and I've been in costume this entire time. I fooled you guys. Can you believe
what?
It? I know.
How could you?
We will pray, we will burn, we will celebrate Jesus and push back the forces of darkness on the year's most evil night. We are children of the light and we will not tolerate darkness. Mm. He's gone full on super Christian for this one, aren't he? It's amazing.
If something was to hit a bunch of people on their brain and they got aphasia, uh-oh, it would make sense that they were speaking to each other.
Is this the Three Stooges argument for the existence of God?
When you're having a conversation with somebody about agnosticism, that you're on the same page.
Right.
I don't see what's so hard about it. Don't get hung up on words, Patrick.
You're right. I just...
Yeah, I know.
I like...
And we are back to the show. Welcome back, Truth Wanted. We have some open lines, folks. So if you want to talk to us, you can definitely do it again. It doesn't have to be about QAnon. It could be about whatever kinds of regular stuff we talk about here. But the number, again, is 512-991-9242. Or you can visit tiny.cc/calltw, and we'd love to talk to you. But for now, let's get to our next caller. We have Phoenix, who's calling in from Texas. Phoenix, you are live on Truth Wanted. What's going on?
Oh, I just missed my chance to talk last week for the Halloween show. So due to the technical difficulties with new equipment at the studio. But I just wanted to talk about some of the crazy experiences that I used to have back when I was a believer, a polytheist.
Yes.
Would have fit in real well with the Halloween theme.
Yeah. So Phoenix, by the way, if you missed it last week, again, go watch that episode. But we did it in studio, which we haven't done since 2020. And Phoenix was actually there. So Phoenix, good talking to you again. If we will be doing more in studio shows, and we'll let you know when those happen. So more on that in the future. But anyway, Phoenix, glad you can at least talk to us now. So yeah, what was some of the stuff that you were experiencing or relieving then? Because I am curious.
Okay, I'm just going to bullet point this and go from the least extraordinary to most extraordinary out of these. So the first one would be hearing voices. Basically, I heard whispers when I was back in the military. I was in the motor pool, and I heard a voice just call out my name and looked around, nothing. And a moment later, I hear, "Hurry up," whispered in my ear. There's nobody around me. The closest people are about 75 yards away. Get back to the motor pool, and sure enough, I'm getting yelled and screamed at for taking too long.
Now, Phoenix, I'm going to give away the game here a little bit here, because I do know you in real life. When you say that you heard voices, so like, do you think that that's a sign of like mental distress there, or like what do you interpret that as? Because like that I don't know, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, honestly, all of these, my personal beliefs on what the actual explanations are would be the same for all of them.
Okay.
Considering it was taking place at about the same time period in my life.
Okay. And can I just confirm, so you're a non-believer now, though, but correct. At the time you were a believer, because come from a spiritualist background. So a lot of my family were big into speaking to the dead. And I was, at a very young age, convinced that I, by my family, that I was clairaudient because I could hear things. Or I thought I could hear things. So to explain it away, my family would say, oh, this is because you can hear dead people and pass on information. So it'll be interesting to see where you go with it.
Yeah. Well, that one was an actual audible one. At the same time period in my life, I was also seeing the, I had like a little cat-sized shadow that just, I noticed, I was staring at it, and then suddenly it bolted away and then darted around the building, and I couldn't find it after that. It was in a fenced in area, so I had nowhere to go. I would also see shadowy figures that looked like they were hooded, robed, standing on top of buildings looking down at me while I was out there too. But then jumping to something even more extravagant would be the time when I went to, I had just pulled up to my parents. There, my acts, oddly enough, I was stationed within driving distance of home, so I didn't have to report that. And I just pulled up to my parents' house, and as soon as I put the vehicle into park, suddenly I found myself not in my car, but kneeling on a red cushion, a blood red cushion on a stone floor in a dark room where I couldn't see the walls or ceiling because it was so dark. And there were two cups made out of bone in front of me. One filled with blood, one filled with ash. And I had dipped my thumb into the ash, dabbed out on my eyelids, dipped my fingers into the blood, and ended up and drew lines down over my eyes and cheeks and across my nose. And as soon as I finished doing that, suddenly I found myself back in my car again with my hand up exactly where it was in the ritual. And I was like, what the hell just happened? It was just as vivid as if I was physically there.
Now,
but was there anything on your eyes when after you, was there anything there?
Nope.
Okay.
No, it was just like suddenly I was there and then I wasn't. But the most extreme, the craziest one though was, this was a very stressful time in my life, and I'll get into what was going on here in just a moment. But the most extravagant one was I was having a dream. I was talking to my higher self or my spirit guide or whatever name you want to give it. Mm-hmm. And it told me, you got to fix the situation or I will. And that's when I woke up convulsing from the waist up with my mouth filled with blood.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Phoenix, this sounds like something more serious than just, I don't know, a dream. Like, have you had this checked out? Like, honestly, like, what has anything come of that? Because
okay, so now we get into the explanations for what I, you know, for
I think. Okay,
yeah, cool.
Like, yeah, okay. So this was an extraordinarily stressful period of my life. I was exploring my spirituality. I believed myself to be a vampire and otherkin. At the time.
Dude, otherkin, it's been a minute since I've talked about otherkin, dude. Like, that's like 2014 Tumblr era shit, man. I love that. I love that, dude. Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
And me being in the army, I was not medicated at the time, but I do have ADHD, and I was at the time undiagnosed, but I'm also autistic. And so that social environment was extremely stressful for me, enough to that I was actually shaking on a regular basis. So I was under an extreme amount of stress. I was also malnourished because the officers there had not gotten me the meal card to eat at the cafeteria. And that kept up all the way up till 2 weeks before I actually got out of the army.
Right.
So I had to buy my own food, but then my roommate would steal it as soon as I brought it home. So fast food was all I could, dollar menu was all I could afford to eat on a regular basis, given that. So I was significantly malnourished, pretty much.
Yeah.
Stressed out, malnourished. I was also dealing with sleep deprivation.
Wow. Oh, wow. Yeah. You had everything.
Because I kept on going back to my parents' house to de-stress. And
now, see how much extra context we need just to figure out exactly what's going on there, right? Yeah. Like, see how anecdotal stories can be just totally misconstrued into something like and fans. I know, like you are a I know you in real life. You've come to the ACA library lots. Well, you volunteer with the ACA and you've done a lot of stuff. So like you've told me you've wanted to talk about this for a long time and call in, which I'm really happy you did. But it's like, look, I can vouch for you in that like you don't need to have any extra expression of something mental going on or anything. It can just be external circumstances that can really just fuck with you. But also when you're exploring a very open belief system, like that happens with New Age philosophy and to some extent polytheism, like that can also influence the way you interpret your events, and that can
and really also family things. And the people around you who also believe these things. You don't necessarily have to believe something, but a family member can say to you, "Oh, it's because of what they believe," and that also, you know, like confirms what you've been feeling.
Oh, exactly. Isn't that crazy? I don't know. Well, I'm glad you're okay, Phoenix. I'm glad you made out to the other side here, because man, that'd be intense, dude. I don't know. I've never gone through anything like that.
The clairaudient stuff hit me hard because I have experienced that, and our bodies are surreal things that anything can be tricked. Any one of our senses can be tricked somehow, and like high levels of stress in any situation can cause your body to do some strange things, and it's fascinating what it does, but it's terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. So some of the key points of what I've learned since then that actually pulled me out of it would be that let's start with all those stressors that I talked about, physical and mental alike. Each one of those alone is known to be able to trigger hallucinations of any variety.
Right.
And I learned that from reading Michael Shermer's work. And furthermore, the long isolation, doing something monotonous, like driving down a road at night, is another thing that could cause, you know, hallucinations where your brain can start trying to come up with some body or something to interact with because it's getting bored.
There's also driving. Is it driving hypnosis where your brain, so you forget parts of the journey as well because you've done it so many times. Yeah, you just forget.
Kind of go into autopilot. Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm thinking that I had just, as soon as I parked, just enough stress from driving was relieved that I got relaxed enough to have that experience. So that the stress of actually driving was just enough to keep me out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And at the time, from what I know about you, Phoenix, too, from what you've told me about yourself, that you, like you just said, you were doing all that stuff and interpreting what was going on as part of a ritual, as part of something grander, right? And like when you do that, like you're going to get something out of it. You're going to get some sort of message, whether it's good or bad or neutral or whatever. Like there's going to be a higher attribution to that if you don't think about it, like in a critical way, can be life-changing, but not always in a good way. It could be, it can lead you into something that just may not be true, right?
And then the practices that we actually do in those kinds of communities, the various metaphysical communities, New Age communities, various other religions, I've since learned that the exercises themselves, you have, are either meditative or hypnotic induction is actually part of it too.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Of course, there have been multiple studies with that. And so common things that you encounter with a meditation with the brain scans is that you have your sense of spatial awareness reduced. That's the part of the part of you that keeps your awareness centered inside your body. So people leaving their body, astral projection sort of stuff, or becoming one with the world or one with God, you know, sort of thing. That is a result of that section of the brain being, that function being reduced. And then on top of that, your reality checking system is also reduced. So what normally would happen would be your brain goes, okay, I'm having this experience. Let me go and double check this against my past experiences and see if it matches that. But that
you're 100% right.
That function in your brain is reduced, and so you're starting to have these experiences in an altered brain state that your brain is now accepting as factual right off the bat.
Right.
And then that gets put into the bank of experiences it checks against later, so that when it is functioning correctly, it's going up, it's looking at false data to go, oh, no, this is real because we've had this before. And
yeah,
building up that background. And then you have the common practice of visualizing so vividly that, you know, the common exercise would be you have an apple in your hand, and there's an apple in your hand, and the idea is to get to the point where you can't differentiate between the imagined apple and an actual apple.
Right.
Mm-hmm. People actually, you know, they've bore that over.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so like,
combine all that together.
There's interesting scholarship on interpretations of mystical experiences, right? It's very interesting when we talk about, I mean, you talk about brain states. People with, like, you know, who suffer seizures in the temporal lobe can also experience the same things that people have done under, like, these mystical conditions, right? Like, you can really look at different areas of the brain and see, like, which areas are lighting up when you're experiencing certain things and figure out exactly what you're talking about. These fact-checking parts of the brain may be off during certain sets, and it makes you do and experience these weird and crazy things, which people interpret as the divine, right? And I think that's like the heart of a lot of religion right there, which is a very sobering thought. It's like, oh, we've just been tricking ourselves with
When you've had these experiences as well, because you can't necessarily explain them away, you start searching for them to happen again. So your brain's already locked on to going, I need this to happen again so that I can then prove that it actually happened the first time. And then you're finding biases and things. The brain's a fascinating thing.
It's true. But Phoenix, we're going to go ahead and let you go. Thanks so much for calling in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really glad you finally got called in, because we've been talking for a long time, and like, you've been telling me for a long time you wanted to call into the show. So I'm glad we got to do that for you today. But thank you, Phoenix, and thank you for being a volunteer and doing what you do. Phoenix is a cool guy. I like to think that there's people in the pagan community and people in the witch community that watch this show more than the other ACA shows, at least if the comment sections are to believe. I have seen every once in a while, you know, people are like, hey, I like Dan because he lets us talk about stuff. But yeah, you're right. Come on in. we're just an open house full of all kinds of
it's weird fascinating stuff. As well. It's bring fun. It in.
Yeah, I like talking about that stuff. I think it's fun. But Phoenix is one of the only people I know that is a former sort of polytheist New Ager that is now an atheist. You don't see as many of those as you do like former Christians and stuff, right? It is kind of different. Real quickly, I want to tell you guys about some other ways you can support the show. One thing you can do is you can email the show at truth@atheist-community.org. If you want to talk to me, send me your bug videos on Mars, you know, send me whatever stuff that you think I'd be interested in talking about. And I'd love to talk to you. You can also reach out to the ACA. It's tv@atheist-community.org for that, and see what's going on our website at atheist-community.org. And also, there is a Facebook group. It's run by fans and it's for fans. You can go to that. It's tiny.cc/fbtwg to interact with other fans and talk to them about what you think with the show and all the other cool stuff we got going on. And also, I'm doing this a little bit out of order on the script. Sorry, crew. But there is a merch store that you should definitely check out as well. It's tiny.cc/merch-ACA. And I was not kidding. I mean, Rob Boss was not kidding when he said that the painting that Rob Boss did, a Rob Boss original, would become the shirt of the month. So that's what we're doing this month. Check that out if you haven't already. We got happy little trees on there. There's also UFOs and big. So I think that's pretty cool. And of course, all the other stuff that we typically sell. So check that out. And if you do buy something, tag me on Twitter because I want to see that too. Lastly, I just want to point out, you can go to our audio only channel that we have. It's tiny.cc/AEN podcast. And that's going to be your one-stop shop for all of our shows in audio form. And you're going to find Truth Wanted on there. You're going to find nonprofits on there. You're going to find Talk Heathen on there. All the other fun stuff that happens at the ACA. So if you're like me and you just like the audio stuff, check that out. John, we've got open line right now.
Right.
Open lines. I was thinking I could go back to the timeline. But honestly, it's kind of depressing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be a downer. You know what I mean?
I didn't enjoy seeing you just slumping as you were going through. I was enjoying listening to the stuff and learning something. But as you were going into it, you're like, oh, you could just see the sadness on your face. And I felt sad over here.
There's, I mean, what is there to say, right? What is there to say, like, that hasn't already been said? I think there's new and interesting things about the phenomenon of Q that I think is to everyone's interests and benefit to study, if not for your own personal, like, ooh, look at this weird thing, but also, like, because friends and family that you know are going to run into these ideas and how they respond.
You need to have an idea of what's going on so that you can protect yourself.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And like I've been thinking a lot recently about like Kanye West stuff that's been happening. I don't know if I've talked about that too much on the show, but like, oh my goodness, like Kanye West is probably doing a lot of the stuff he saw because he was running into Q adjacent stuff, right?
Right.
Like for those who like are living under a rock and don't know what's happening there, Kanye West, richest black man in the world, and also one of the most popular rap artists and producers of all time, has been off the rails and talking about anti-Semitic conspiracy theories that have just been really, really bad. I mean, like he's one of those, like, he's basically promoting Black Hebrew Israelite theology, which is this idea that Black people are actually the real Israelites that are talked about in the Bible and stuff. So they're the real Jewish. So he doesn't think he's being anti-Semitic because he literally thinks he's Jewish. But like everything he's saying is like white supremacist talking. And he's such a mainstream person. We're not talking about some guy in an apartment somewhere posting on the internet. We're talking about, again, one of the most famous people like in the music world and in the fashion world, probably too, right?
And people and idolize him. So they're going to just take everything that he says and go, well, Kanye thinks this, so I should probably think this too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it's I've already seen it online. I've been seeing people talk about it. Kyrie Irving, NBA player, also recently posted an anti-Semitic documentary that was on Amazon on his Twitter and has been suspended temporarily from the NBA for a bit. Oh, wow. And a part of me makes you wonder, did he do this because of Kanye? Because I saw an interview with him where he also thinks he's like a kind of like a Black Hebrew Israelite kind of guy. He also thinks he's like one of the Jewish people. So like, I wonder, is Kanye influencing this or is this just like a separate thing? Because it could be they both just came to that conclusion themselves. I mean, it's not unpopular, but it is out there. I don't know. I guess it's unpopular, but it's a thing. You know what I mean? It's an established thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, John.
And I think I don't know if people do like talking about QAnon because do they want to admit that their family have these beliefs and, you know, what do they do about it? And I would also like to know, what can someone do if their family is involved with QAnon? Are there places to call and speak to, or are we on our own if we discover that a close family member is diving into this?
I honestly think that a lot of the stuff that comes from Q adjacent circles, I think like a lot of people don't even recognize it as being Q related. So they just kind of think it's just general conspiracy stuff or even just general right wing stuff. So there may be a problem in identification there. But
yeah,
to your second point, what can people do? Honestly, I mean, I talk about street epistemology a lot. I talk about conversational tools. You can talk to people, but like, you know, you can't make somebody go to therapy, right? No. Like, at least under the current state of affairs, there's no person that's going to knock on your door and say, you need to go to therapy unless like it's court mandated or something, right? Mm-hmm. Like for most people, like that's a choice that they have to make on for themselves. And I do think a lot of these people need therapy. I do think that they're working through other issues.
Right.
And I think sometimes people are just mad. People are mad at the system, or they have a lack of understanding of how actual government works and actual policy works. And so they're channeling that anger through a group that they identify with as kind of a rebel force that more coincides with what they believe to be true and their instincts, right? So they are kind of weaponized in a way. I don't know. It's hard. I don't know if there's like a one size fits all answer, you know?
Sure. Yeah. And because, yeah, it's such a wide net, recognizing it is going to be very difficult. But you said about there are some folks around the world that are QAnon theorists. And I'd like to know kind of where, because I'm from a country where that sort of belief is not very well known. It's not something that I feel like Brits would believe in.
Well, it's funny you say that because there is an international following. And stat that I have here is that 1 in 4 Britons are said to believe in QAnon related theories, though only 6% support QAnon. So again, it goes back to this, and the original link to this is from The Guardian. The article is called "One in Four Britons Believe in QAnon Link Theories Survey." Right.
Wow.
And this was from 2020, I think. Okay. Yeah. So I pulled this up because, again, one in four Britons believe in QAnon conspiracies, but only six support QAnon. So do you see the distinction there? It's like, yeah, sure. Like they don't even realize where a lot of this stuff is coming from, or at least related to, but mm-hmm. they still think it's true, but they may not even realize it's part of this larger political sort of movement, political religious movement, I guess, is both.
Yeah,
so, yeah, right. I mean, it's more common than you think, man. It's more common than you think.
One in four is insane.
That's a big number. And like, there's way more Americans. I guarantee you that. I have to look at the numbers. I'm surprised I didn't pull that up, but yeah, it's out there.
But that's
man.
The same amount as non-religious belief in the States, right? It's one in four people are now saying that they're not affiliated.
Oh,
with the religion.
I don't know. That's higher than what I would thought. I don't know. I've seen Pew research statistics. So that's a side issue, John. Because like when you talk about how you identify atheist versus non-believer versus agnostic, that mm-hmm. becomes really difficult. A lot of people don't agree on what those words mean. So,
okay. Well, see, I've been to a few conventions where they say.
Yeah, but like, most people don't go to conventions, though. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
a lot of the casual, we're weirdos because we talk about this on the internet like all the time. Like, you know, most people don't give a shit. Most people just kind of live their lives. So I think they probably have a different idea of how they categorize their beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But hey, we do have some other people that want to talk to us. So I think we should
get going
on that. I think we have, these are some interesting topics. Let's keep on the Q train here. I'm gonna talk to Fat Man, who's calling from Oregon. That's Fat Man PH with a PH.
Oh, cool.
Fat Man, you're live on Truth Wanted. What's up?
That's right. Thank you for taking my call. I've just got a question. Do you think that there's a connection? I know that there's somewhat of a connection, but do you think there's a big connection between QAnon and people that are Christian nationalists, or do you think they're one and the same? Or
100%.
I want to know what your thoughts are on it.
100%. So again, my brain is broken, and I have a Gab account. Okay, if you don't know what Gab is a right wing social media platform. I get emails from Gab, one of the founder of Gab has recently written a book about Christian nationalism and talking about how cool it is, and he's promoting it directly through the email list for his website. Basically, he's got everybody's emails on the website, so he's been promoting this thing. And let's be real, a lot of cute people go to Gab, right? Marjorie Taylor Greene also has famously been saying very recently that she supports Christian nationalism and thinks it's awesome. And there's like a lot of other politicians that are saying the same thing, again, that run in these kinds of circles. The Q rallies that have been happening, the cuties protest that was kind of happening, a lot of those people that were there, some were, of course, legitimately mad about this movie that was sexualizing young girls. But again, one of the Q narratives is, oh, they're taking our children and they're sex trafficking them. So there's a lot of Q people that were out there and Christian nationalist types that, that were having the Christian nationalist flag, you know, the American flag with the cross in it. You saw some of that there, and you saw that too at the January 6th riots. There's definitely footage of people using that kind of signage. So yeah, they're all kind of mixed together. They're all just kind of in a big old soup, you know.
Very strange tasting soup.
Well, I used to kind of, you know, laugh it off, put it off to the side, you know, just a bunch of dingbats, but it seems like they're getting a little more, I don't know, brazen with trying to push Christian nationalism on trying to make the United States a Christian nation and push Christian nationalism on the rest of the country.
I agree.
Yeah.
I 100% agree. It used to be, like you said, kind of this off to the side kind of thing. I don't know this for a fact, but I almost guarantee if you look at Google Trends for like Christian nationalism in the past couple of years, that thing's gone up for sure. Mm-hmm. I've seen more rhetoric from politicians in online spaces using that phrase more than any other time in my life, which is really wild to see.
It definitely also seems like they're not people. People aren't necessarily listening to those that are right. They're just listening to those that are loudest. So that's where that's coming from. That's why we're hearing more, because they're just getting louder.
Yeah, I mean, there is definitely that too. Like I think now is the time for alternate beliefs to flourish.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Christian nationalism is a super alternate belief, right? I think that's how it's getting fractured. There's a new market, and people are exploiting that market for sure, right?
Yeah, I agree. Get the word out there with, I don't know, a lot of people didn't think that Roe versus Wade was going to get reversed, and that's happened. I mean, it's just you really got to, I mean, you got to get the word out there, get the, you know, let people know that Christian nationalism, it, I don't know, it kind of gets me a little worried.
It's out there. And, you know, maybe I need to do a deep dive on Christian nationalism because it wasn't always this popular. Right. It was definitely more of a fringe belief. But there's definitely been some more mainstream rhetoric talking about it and becoming more mainstream. So anyway, Fat Man, was that all that you had for us?
Well, I just want to say one more thing. Ironically, it seems like it really went on the rise with when we elected Donald Trump, who I would argue, I know, I'm an atheist and I know more about religion than he does. I mean,
what do you think? I mean, that's fair. I think most atheists probably know more about religion than Donald Trump was. I'd be willing to go so far to say that.
Even I do. And I was never a Christian.
Yeah, it's not that hard. I don't think it's that hard. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, like I can't recall Trump speaking to Christian nationalism in particular. I don't know if he actually even said the words. But also, like, I've been seeing in the past 2 years, kind of since he's left office, more people talking about it now. There was a Christian nationalist rally that happened recently in Missouri, I think.
Wow.
Like last weekend, I think it was. Something like that. I don't know. Like, there's more outspokenness than there was before. And Trump didn't help, right? Trump didn't help with that. So, yeah. Anyway, Fat Man, we'll go ahead and let you go. But thanks again for calling
in. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. And I think your point is taken. There is definitely a link between Christian nationalism and Q and all the other the Q soup that we're brewing here.
And it affects us. It affects us all.
Yeah.
It's affecting everyone.
Yeah. And it's not going away.
No.
It's not going away.
And that Roe v. Wade thing hit. My wife and I had some troubling times where a pregnancy didn't go too well. And she required some medical intervention. And she was, if it had been 2 or 3 days later, we would have had to have found a different state to have gone to go and get intervention, which is just terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
I know. It's really sad. We did when Truth Wanted premiered on the day that it was overturned. And we had a whole episode about it. I mean, it was really sad to see it. And it sucks that it hasn't gotten any better. And I don't expect it to get any better. I'm pretty pessimistic.
Not yet. I think it will eventually. I think the younger folks are more outspoken and getting better education. I don't think it's going to be that long before there's a turn.
I suppose we'll see. But we do have some more people that want to talk to us. Somebody who may have a dissenting opinion from us, John. We have Rebel, who's calling in from DC. Rebel, you claim that there is some truth in QAnon theories. Is that right?
Just a tad bit. It's just a little bit of truth mixed in with mostly lies.
Okay.
In what sense?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I mean, it's quite controversial. Like, do you guys know about that one documentary that came out associated with QAnon? It was about like 3 to 4 hours. It was narrated by like some Swedish lady named Jane.
You're talking about The Fall of the Cabal. Yes, I'm aware of it.
Exactly. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I've seen a lot of it. To be honest with you, it's so full of shit, I can't even finish it all. But yes, I've seen a lot of it. Yeah, I've seen highlights, I guess.
Yeah, so the sort of, you know, the darker, more evil part of it about, you know, these rich elite people being involved with, you know, the child sacrifice or trafficking, abuse kind of thing. That part I do believe to be true. You know, and I think we can all agree that, you know, there was you know, this whole Jeffrey Epstein scandal, right? And, you know, that came on mainstream news.
And, so, you know, here's the difference, right? here's the difference here. So people will point to Jeffrey Epstein, right? And will say, hey, look, this is an example of an elitist pedophile ring. This is what Q is talking about. Oh my gosh, this is real. And Jeffrey Epstein was involved, as far as, you know, courts are concerned, with child trafficking, right? And doing heinous sex crimes, and probably other people who are also in his circles were also doing the same thing. It's 100% true, right? Like, as far as the courts are concerned. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, though, Q has never said Jeffrey Epstein has anything to do with it. Q has never said any of those people have anything to do with it. If anything, they have claimed that a lot of people, specifically in left-wing spaces, Hillary Clinton and other folks, for example, were doing things even beyond just the child stuff. And also, the claims that the fall of the cabal may go way beyond just sex trafficking. We're talking about adrenochrome extractions. Mm. We're talking about underground tunnels where children were kept at. None of this happened with Epstein. With the Epstein stuff, it was teenagers and young adults who were put in precarious situations that had to, you know, rely on the social sort of you know, the social graces of mm-hmm. the people around them, and also the money that was being paid for them to cover up for their crimes. I mean, like, we're talking about stuff happening in the real world versus a fantasy story being told. Mm-hmm. And like, that's the difference. Like, Fall of the Cabal tells a completely different story. Like, yeah, okay, you can make common themes there, but the fact is, sex trafficking happens, and it does happen with powerful people. So what? I mean, that still had to be proven in a court of law. It didn't happen because some people on the internet were posting about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I just brought that up as an example that everyone is familiar with. You know, that's sort of like similar and related to what was shown in the Fall of the Cabal. Like, yeah, that was a sex, like a pedophile ring, in, you know, with a bunch of wealthy, you know, powerful, even famous celebrities apparently yes. were involved when you look at Jeffrey Epstein's plane log or whatever. So I'm just saying, you just take that a step further, almost like stuff maybe you would find on the dark web. And yes, I do believe there were darker stuff going on with the, you know, like the adrenochrome.
Listen, but Rebel, you know who else was on Jeffrey Epstein's plane log? Donald Trump.
Who's that?
The guy who everybody thinks Q was working with.
I believe. Sure.
Okay.
I believe it.
But that's the thing, right? If Q was real, and Q claims, right, the Post claimed to be part of a sort of quasi-military operation within the White House working with Donald Trump, why would Donald Trump be working against the sex ring that he would be allegedly a part of?
Getting thrown under the bus there.
Well, but you remember, right? No, I agree, Dan. Remember my first statement about QAnon was actually, it's just a little bit of truth mixed with mostly lies. So I never considered myself to be part of Q, or like the whole, like, what was their saying? Oh, like, where we go one, we go all. Like, I trust mm-hmm. me, I made after a certain point, like, at first, like, my friends who were insecure, I was like, come on, like, really? Like, I almost got deceived by them, you can say, after watching that documentary, because it seemed so convincing, except towards the end where they said, like, Barron Trump and all of them is, like, apparently the messiah of the world and stuff. That's where it kind of, you know, I kind of lost my head at it. But, you know, my friends who were really into it, even to the point where after Trump was not reelected as president and Biden took his place, and they were still in it talking about, oh, yeah, it's still part of the plan. Like, just wait, you'll see. Like, I just completely lost it. I just, you know, full rein made fun of them at that point. So I don't believe in that. In fact, what I do believe QAnon to be was not a quasi-military operation like they said it was, but rather it was just known as a controlled opposition. I believe that was headed by our intelligence agencies, like mostly the CIA and probably FBI as well.
Well, I don't think that that finding a situation that kind of fits a square peg with a square hole, but it's like a slightly different square to the one that you're putting in, that doesn't necessarily make something true. It's with everything, you can find something that might fit to kind of bias you to getting some confirmation on this being true. That, I think I'm not with you on this. I'm not following this.
Yeah, I mean, like, here's the thing, right? When it comes to the Epstein stuff, okay, if you look at the how the case was built against him and what they had to do to gather evidence for that, absolutely zero of it came from anything Q-related whatsoever. It came from the testimonies of real victims, and it came from the testimonies of real people that actually work with him in these spaces. Like, again, rich people cover up their crimes. I mean, that's nothing new. If the documentary telling you that was like a revelation for you, I'm sorry, but that's not very significant. It happens all the time. It really does. And it was particularly scandalous, if only for the fact that it happened for so long with Epstein and because he knew so many people. I mean, that's why it really blew up. But like, you know, I don't know. The idea that Q is controlled opposition is weird because I don't know why the CIA would actually could make a controlled opposition force to invade the Capitol building, one, but also, like, I don't know whose interests they would even be serving at that point, because they're not making Trump look good. They're not making Democrats look good. I don't know who they're making look good at that point. Like, no. I don't see how that would even function. No. But, you know, and here's the thing too, right? People that have been, that I listed earlier in these crimes that have happened, the guy that just attacked Pelosi, they have a long history of posting online. They don't need to be paid by the government to do what they did. I mean, they just did it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Because they think it's the right thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, Rebel. I don't know.
Yeah.
You are, yeah, I guess. Well, what do you think?
Well, by the way, Dan, do you remember me from my call the other week, right?
Yes.
With your friend Blaine Blathish or whatever. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what was I going to say? Yeah. So, the one thing I tried to mention twice on that show, but somehow, you know, it was not heated, but there was a lot of things being said and you guys had a lot of thoughts, so I wasn't able to bring it out, was I was going to mention the fact that, you know, the astronauts that I was mentioning, they are all they're all part of Freemasonry. Okay. Like, they're Freemasons.
Okay.
And in fact, one very well-researched biblical stuff.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but like, we do have a general policy where we try to follow the topic that you told Paul Spruner about. And I know that you previously talked about the subject, but like, you know, keeping things on track. I mean, I guess I'll address it since you brought it up. The fact, you know, who else is a lot of Freemasons? A lot of FBI agents and a lot of CIA agents, because it's an old, you ever been to a Freemason lodge? It's old white dudes that just hang out. And it's a boys club. That's it. Guess what? I was in the, look, I'm serious. I'm an Eagle Scout. Okay. A lot of people who work in scouting are also Freemasons, because it's like a very similar type of organization. They actually have a sub organization within Boy Scouts called the Order of the Arrow, which is basically Freemason light. Okay. It's a social connection. It's like the Skull and Bones Club at Harvard. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a secret group, but it's just for rich people to like have their little clubs and like, and get their political connections. I mean, like, yeah, a lot of the astronauts are also Eagle Scouts too. There's a couple of them. Does that mean that they are all secretly connected? No, they're just they have similar values.
They hang out.
That's really it. You know, like that doesn't, it's not conclusive. It is.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. Like you can, there's other simpler explanations than all astronauts are covering up the fact that they've been to space. But that was a different conversation. You know, that was for another. Anyway.
But thanks for giving us some insight on the Q stuff. Thank you.
Yeah. One more thing you want to say, Rebel? Because yeah, go ahead. No.
Yeah, no, the only reason why I brought that up was because, you know, when you look into, I mean, obviously you guys would disagree, but with Freemasonry, I believe there's what's called, especially with all secret societies, like Skull and Bones, for example, which I do believe to be highly nefarious, but, you know, there's what's called an esoteric doctrine and an exoteric, right? So the exoteric would be what they want the general public perception to be about their group.
I'm just going to cut you off a second, Rebel. Can I just ask a question?
John's coming in. John's coming in hot.
Are you actually a member of the Freemasons? Just a simple yes or no on this.
No, are you?
No, I'm not. I just, but however, if a secret organization wanted you to know what goes on in there, it wouldn't be a secret organization. So I don't know if, like, just guessing what goes on in the Freemasons, what they do and don't want you to know is I don't think that's going to help us anyway right now.
Well, I mean,
it sounds like this is what you think. This is what goes on.
No, and I just need to let me finish my sentence.
Well, I mean, I kind of just lost interest with what you think the Freemasons. I'm sorry. It's been a hard show. We've been talking about QAnon, and now you're talking about a lot of stuff. Freemasons. Yeah.
Go ahead and finish your thought, Rebel, but we do need to close out the show here in just a second.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, there's what's known as the, quote, Bible of Freemasonry, and it was written by a man by the name of Albert Pike, who was a 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, and he's known as one of the main pioneers of modern day Freemasonry. And you can, and it's a, that book is available to anyone in public. And it, right in there, he says that the god of Masonry is Lucifer, you know, and part of their agenda is to deceive people. So I mean, it's right in there.
I mean, look, the thing about, there is an industry of people. I was going to do a deep dive on this. I can't remember her name. But there's a lady who is the sort of progenitor of angel therapy. Okay. She was really into angel therapy, literally just this belief that guardian angels can like heal you of stuff. She has since renounced her angel therapy and has become a Christian, a born again Christian, and now goes on different shows and talks to people about being a born again Christian. I mean, the grift is still there. You understand? Like, even though she left one grift, she just went on another. There's a lot of people. UFO. Conventions are notorious for this. A lot of so-called ex-Freemasons talk about this. I mean, it is an entire micro industry of people who have some maybe legitimate experience within an organization and then talk about those experiences openly. The thing is, just like how that guy is saying, oh, well, they actually all believe in Lucifer, I guarantee you, you can talk about other Freemasons who say, no, we actually don't believe in it. So it's just a he said, she said thing at that point. Unless you're in the organization, you're not going to know for sure. But even then, again, so this is true. I'm not making this up, Rebel. A few months ago, I asked Greg, our executive producer, if they could pay for me to become a Freemason. I wanted this to be a long con where I went to a couple Freemason meetings and then like I showed off some symbology and then I wanted to make people guess I was in the Freemason. It didn't work out. You don't know why? It's boring. I talked to the Freemasons on the phone and I tried to get in and it's just a voice. I didn't even want to go. I was like, I don't even want to spend my free time with these people because it's not even worth it, you know? So
it's just men helping each other out and saying, I can do this for you.
Old men contributing their money towards civic projects. That's like the majority of it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know, Rebel. I'm sorry. You know, I'm really dishing out a lot of stuff on you here. But I appreciate the fact that you called in again because you're willing to talk to me. I hope you felt like you got some of your points across, even though John and I are both talking a lot, especially me. But we do have to kind of wrap things up because we are at the end of the show. So if you want to talk more about what you think is real from Q, hit me up next, okay? And I could go point by point why Follow the Cabal is stupid, but that's just my opinion, okay? Rebel, we'll hopefully talk again sometime. Have a good one.
Thanks, Rebel.
I see that we had some other folks in the calling queue. Folks, I'm sorry we can't get to everybody today. Sometimes this happens, but we will try to talk to you next time. Same bat time, same bat channel. Can I say that? I think I can say that. But anyway.
You just did. No one's going to stop you now.
I just did. Who's going to stop me, Batman?
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's a lot of stuff there, John. What'd you think?
That was some hard going.
Well,
in a good way, I enjoyed it. But like, when you deep dive, Dan, you deep dive.
Listen, you welcome to Truth Wanted, John.
Thanks.
Now I'm looking forward to the times you get to deep dive. I want to see what John's going to pull out next time when you get the chance.
Mine will all be about ghosts and spirits and speaking to dead
people. Hell
yeah. Because that's where I'm at.
That's what I want to hear about. But anyway, folks, thanks again for watching this show. Just real quick, I want to thank the wonderful, fantastic, amazing, stupendous crew that helped make this show happen every single week. And hopefully we'll get the crew cam on there. There we go. We got the crew. They're working behind the scenes, making this show happen. You guys rock. And of course, I want to thank everybody that calls into the show, whether you agree with us or not. You guys help make this show happen. And of course, special thanks to John, who again is going to be a recurring host here at Truth
Wanted. Very exciting.
So I'm hope you're excited to see what John is going to bring to the table. But for now, that's going to be it for tonight. I am your host, Objectively Dan. And remember to always keep on the truth. See you next time.
Mm. watch The Nonprofits and join the hosts in the live chat Sundays at 3 p.m. Central between The Atheist Experience and Talk Hidden. Visit tiny.cc/ytnp.